Good morning.
Good morning.
I did not have the benefit of praying with Richard just before we started, so I'm going to have to pray now.
All right.
Father, thank you so much for bringing us together. You have always been so gracious, so generous, so merciful. We ask you to be with us now, that that the words that come from me will be words from you, that the message that that I try to bring is a message that is exactly what you would have me bring. Bless this time, bless our hearts, and may we worship and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remember I said last week about the Holy Spirit? Well, he didn't sound the same this week. But yeah, same kind of thing happened where I spent the last 2 weeks working and striving to have a message from James chapter 4. But honestly, 3 was still in my heart. And so yesterday I went and scrapped what I'd been doing and went back to James chapter 3. So 2 weeks ago I was speaking about James 3. Verses 1 through 12. We looked at the relationship between what we say and what is true wisdom. And we looked at the relationship between that wisdom and that perfect royal law that I've been talking about since we've been into James. And it just really, I just haven't been able to get rid of it. So I'm coming back. You know, it's, there's a saying, or James says in so much words, that that a completely mature Christian is the one who is never at fault in the words that they use. That was really the message of James 3, 1 through 12. He wrote, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." And that word perfect is a word for complete or mature. Not saying without error, but mature and having attained where God would like them to be. So I'm not really ready to let go of James 3 because I don't feel completely mature.
Okay.
Anybody here completely mature in the Lord?
No.
Okay. So we might do okay here. I haven't arrived at any special point, and I don't think anybody else has either. So I hope it'll be okay if we continue in 3. You know, there have been days when I just want to go and be with the Lord. But not because I've attained anything, but it's because I get a breaking point or I'm exhausted. Or honestly, those times when I want to go and be with the Lord, those are the times when I'm not being mature. Those are the times when I've stepped outside of who I'm supposed to be. So that's just the thing. But you know, so getting back to the 17th, when I last week was gonna, when I was finishing out, I wanted to show this as my mic drop, and it's all about our tongue and what can happen when we're not using it properly, when we're not mature. Our tongue, a little word can set off a forest
that's
fire
right.
Within
right.
our fellowship or within your home.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's never happened to anybody here,
yeah,
but yeah.
No.
Yeah, just one word can get yeah. things twisted.
Right.
Come on. Twisted.
Come on.
So having built a foundation from those verses 1 through 12, I would like to move on and finish this chapter. That will make it the only chapter in our, what's it been, like 8 weeks, we've been studying the book of James, and we haven't read every word from any of the chapters. We've taken half of a chapter at best as we've gone through. Chapter 3 will be the only one that we've read every word. I'll tell you the truth, none of us who started out with this idea about preaching through the book of James had any idea that 8 weeks wouldn't be enough. It's an amazing thing that this little book, I mean, we're talking 3 pages, maybe 4 pages, according to the size of your print. None of us had any idea the extent of expositorily preaching through James. The book is massive in its content, even though it's really, really small. So while I was planning chapter 4, let's finish out chapter 3. In my first year as a disciple, I decided I was going to read through the whole Bible. And I came across the first verse that ever moved me to memorize it. You know, we had classes where we were memorizing scripture and all, but the first verse that I ever memorized, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. The reason that moved me to memorize it is because of really the way that I ended up studying the Bible. I'd been going to Bible talk for a couple of weeks, and the brothers asked me, "Hey, would you like to study the Bible?" And in my mind, I said, "I dropped out of college because I don't want to study. Why would I want to do that?" Yeah. But my mouth said, "Yeah, sure." This is the only explanation I have for why I studied the Bible. I couldn't figure out how my mouth said yes. And so that's why I first memorized that. That's the first verse I ever memorized. And then there was also the time when I got into 1 Kings, and I read about Solomon. He is just appointed king, and God comes to him in a vision and says to him, "I will give you anything you ask for, sort of as a coronation present, because you are now king. I'll give you whatever you ask for." And Solomon asked, he said, "I'm just a child. How on earth can I lead your people? What can I do? I need discernment and understanding in order to be able to lead your people." And God was just so thrilled with Solomon's response that he says, "Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days." And when I read that, I was like, wow, God was incredibly pleased. He was psyched that his king, that the one he had chosen to succeed David, he was just psyched that Solomon was much more concerned with taking care of God's people than he was taking care of himself. Amen. So he gave him everything that he thought he was going to ask for, but also what he did ask for, the wisdom and discernment to be able to do that. And the reason I bring these up is because I continue to be inspired today by the joy that God got from that. I continue to pray regularly about having wisdom to be able to to serve God's people in whatever way I can. I don't really want to say to lead God's people, because any place, you might not do well following me, but I do want to serve, and that is really my heart. So now we're going to get to James chapter 3, starting in verse 13.
Yes.
James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny it." Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. We have read through all of chapter 3 today, and 2 weeks ago. I love the way he starts out there in 13. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" It's an incredible question, and he gives us direction, I guess you'd say, to find out, to answer that question. He's not talking, you know, we know that chapter 3 starts out being addressed to teachers, mm-hmm. to preachers, to, you know, leaders in the church, but that is for the whole church, this question. Who is wise among you? And it's brothers and sisters of faith, regardless of whether they lead or not. That's who it is. It's not just the teachers. Something that we really should take note of in our fellowship: who is wise and discerning amongst us? And he tells us that the way you know, it's not about, you know, great insight into a verse or the ability to solve life's complicated questions. James tells us that true wisdom is seen in the way we do our good works, the way we do our things, whatever it is we do in the name of the Lord, but the way we conduct our lives day to day, person to person. That is where true wisdom is found. There are people all around the world. You see all these wise people on the news and, you know, media making commentary. Everybody's got their wisdom to add, and there's some really, really smart people. But true wisdom, spiritual wisdom, has nothing to do with knowledge. It has to do with how we do what we do, why we do what we do. And so we should take note in our fellowship to the people we want to follow, the people we want to look up to, are those who have that godly life day to day, night after night. You know, the ones who live godly when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you can do good works and still be selfish or devious, or however, you know. Think about Ananias and Sapphira from Acts chapter 6, I think it is. You know, they saw that people were being praised for selling land and bringing the proceeds to the apostles so that to help the church. The church was instantly filled with people who couldn't provide for themselves, mm-hmm. because the church was filled with people from all over the Roman world who had come to Jerusalem, and then they just stayed on. So there were people stacked up in homes, and there were people who didn't bring what they needed to survive for months and months. Mm-hmm. So brothers and sisters were taking care of the poor that way. Ananias and Sapphira, what did they do? They sold a piece of property, and they brought enough with them to the apostles that they thought they could fool everybody into thinking that they'd given everything they received. It was theirs in the beginning, but they were looking for the pat on the back. They were looking to be seen by man. And we know what Jesus says: when you do things to be seen by man, you've already received your reward.
Yep.
There's no wisdom in that. There's no wisdom in that. And you know, he tells us that much in Matthew chapter 6. Something I find really remarkable here in James is that we all know it's a very small book. James, if James could use three words instead of five, he did. He was very short on words, and yet he took three out of six sentences. When he's telling us what wisdom is, he took three sentences to tell us what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not bitterness. It's not envy. It's not selfish ambition. Wisdom is so different from what the world has to show to us. I think it's just unnatural for James, being so short-winded. You know, he didn't have a lot to, he had a great deal to say. He didn't use a lot of words. And yet he took three full sentences to tell us what wisdom is not. Why did he do it? Because this is such an important question. This is such an important factor in living together mm-hmm. as a family of God. Because we need to exercise wisdom, the choice of our words, the way we interact with one another.
Right.
That's where true wisdom is found.
Right.
You know, and as followers of Jesus, I think we are obligated to look for that in one another.
Yeah.
We're obligated to point out where we see these things. These are not just items to neglect. If you see that in a brother or a sister, you see harshness or any, shouldn't we point it out? Isn't that what love would really do? What wisdom would do? So James wrote in chapter 3, verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in a word, he is perfect, able to bridle his whole body." And you know what? I just went back to the first page. So I'm sorry about that. But we can't be drawn to cleverly crafted sayings or teachings. You know, this world today, the division, everything going on in this world, group against group, tribalism, nationalism, all these things. There's probably a place for tribal, to have your tribe, your people. There's a place to have, you know, to love your nation. Even the church fathers, the ones who came after the apostles, they wrote about, we do love Rome, and we do the best thing we can do for Rome is not fight for Rome, but to pray for Rome.
Amen.
Because they put the wisdom of Christ ahead of the love for their country.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to, Christ has always got to be ahead of our tribalism, whatever group you're part of, is not anything compared to the group of those who are loved by God and love Him back. You know, when I was a young guy, I was most of you probably heard, I wasn't a nice person. I didn't even like me. But I knew some things. I knew that I was probably smarter than most anybody I ran into, that I knew more, that I could talk on any topic, and whether I knew it or not, I'd sound smart. But I did things, you know, I purposely embarrassed people by telling jokes that they wouldn't understand. I purposely belittled people because of their opinion or their weakness of this or that. I was a really angry, bitter man, and it came across. It was, in spite of what the wisdom or the intellect I thought I had, I didn't have any wisdom from God. But my heart is different today. If I could, I would go back and apologize, especially to the brothers and sisters in the early days of my Christianity, whom I hurt. I wish I could go back and apologize to all of them. I couldn't even tell you all their names. There were so many. But I can't. James says in 3:17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. Do I have the right? Yes, it is. Yeah. Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You know, from where I'm standing, I just say, be filled with the wisdom from heaven. Be filled with the wisdom from above. This James 3 here, it really reminds me of another couple of verses in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Amen.
And boy, what a beautiful description of the wisdom that comes down from above. And that's the thought I'd like to leave you with today. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.